Hey, is this mugging by invitation only?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 16, Mind Games. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Please, somebody just give me a lobotomy.
Mind Games.
Oh, 23 C-Doo. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hi!
Hello, listeners! As promised last week, this Friday, October 10th, on our sister podcast, Again With This, episode 258, we will be watching Katie Holmes in an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
That's true, but it will not be her debut episode, as IMDb lied, is season 1, episode 6, The Slutty Pumpkin. Her character appears in that, but as far as we know, Katie Holmes does not actually play her. That was my mistake. Very, very sorry to anyone who already watched that episode in preparation, including myself, because what a waste of time.
Yeah. Will season 7, episode 8, The Slutty Pumpkin Returns, be any better? You'll have to tune in to find out. That's what we watched. That's what we'll be discussing. It is on Netflix. And if you choose to join us, which we hope you do, you can do that at againwiththispodcast.com/club. As you could tell, we've got 250 plus other extra episodes, and we would love for you to check them out.
Especially now, because we are in the midst of our campaign. We want those stickers to go out to you. You need a Who Fucked sticker. You need a Crying Dawson sticker. You need them all.
You do.
Again, with this podcast.com/club, like Sarah said. All right, let's get into it, starting with our B plot. Jen implicates Jack in her obsession with Dr. Frost. We open in Jen's latest session with Tom, talking about her relationship with Jack. Yes, she trusts Jack, but she doesn't agree with Tom when he suggests she would not trust him if Jack were straight. Tom asks about girls, and Jen's like, sleeping with them? But no, he just means trusting them. And Jen gives the cool girl answer, clip two.
Girls suck. I mean, it's like they get a lobotomy the day they hit the puberty. One day you're all milling around F.A.O. Schwartz in the Rainbow Bright section. Next day somebody gets breasts, and after that, it's all about getting boys to like you, and whoever dies thinnest wins.
Is that what happened to you? You wanted boys to like you?
Teenage sluts aren't born, they're made, that kind of thing.
You said before that you made some bad decisions when you were younger. Some decisions you regret.
Yeah. The whole sex before the 13th birthday, not a good idea.
You told me you were drunk the first time you had sex.
Then the second and the third, but I think we've already been over this. Unless, of course, you would like to share some embarrassing details of your first sexual experience, huh? Oh, come on, aren't you going to ask me why that's important to me?
You want me to?
No. Just every time that I ask you a personal question, you always want to know why it's important to me.
Not this time.
Why? Is time up or something?
I'm not asking because I don't have to. I know why it's important to you. I'm much better at this than you think I am.
If you were that good at it, you would have just fucking told her that it's not appropriate for therapists to share personal details with clients.
Yeah.
I understand that this kills the entire storyline, but oh my God, what an idiot plot. It drives me crazy to watch these two performers have to play this out.
It also, I'm going to say, must be exhausting to treat teenagers who think they're the first person ever to think their thoughts. I say that as a former teenager. I know this is being written this way for a reason, but it's taking so long to get there.
And it's also like, are we still really going to have her joking around about fucking at 12?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was a different time, I guess, but 12.
Not that different.
I was still playing with Barbies, I think. Jesus.
Yeah. But yes, time is up. In fact, they'll see each other again on Tuesday, not next Tuesday, just Tuesday. When we rejoin Jen, she's having coffee with Jack, who's asking her about the therapy, which she's now having three times a week, apparently. should be better at it than this, in my opinion, yeah. if you're going that much, but whatever. Jen answered vaguely until Jack says he knows the Tom's office is right across the street in the building Jen keeps staring at. Jen admits that she feels uncomfortable having told Tom things she's never told anyone, including Jack, but she denies that they are stalking Tom to try to figure out if he's a promise keeper. That's a group I haven't heard in years.
Yeah. Ooh.
Or a Christina Aguilera fan, which I guess those are equivalently bad in her mind. But then Tom comes out to the street and Jen orders Jack to get up and join her in following Tom. And Jack only briefly pretends he's not going to go with her. And you can see the visual aids where she like does a midnight express against the glass of the coffee shop to like make him come. And it works. Jen and Jack follow Tom to a used bookstore. When Jack spots Tom looking at Interview with the Vampire, he declares Tom obviously gay and asks if they can go, but Jen has questions. Clip 3.
Wait a minute. What do you mean obviously gay? Straight people read Anne Rice.
Hello. You party all night with Eternal Youth in a great wardrobe. Now, what other segment of the population does that appeal to?
Huh? How did you manage to surpass me in the knowledge of all things gay?
Sex in the City.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, good delivery.
It is. Jen gets turned around and physically bumps into Tom, then introduces Jack, who's pretending to read a book upside down, as you can see in the visual aids. Tom calls himself Jen's friend. Not wanting the interaction to end, Jen asks Tom for recommendations and then gets confused when he asks if she means in poetry, because it's the section that she's standing in. Tom picks up a flyer for Robinson Ellsworth. Jen says she loves him, but it's a her, and she's going to be reading at a winter arts festival in Wellfleet this weekend. Pass. Maybe Tom will see Jen there. Pass again when he takes off. Clip 4.
I do like poetry. Where the sidewalk ends?
Yeah, right.
I mean, fair. And Wellfleet is a place where they would have an arts festival. Mm-hmm. And over in Wellfleet is like kind of wrong, but also people regularly at who live on the Cape full time regularly ask me the next time I'm coming down there. So for once they passed Cape 101, although they are in an actual bookstore, McAllister and Solomon, that has some really avant-garde ideas about shelving, but they are still extant. You're ever in Charlotte.
Then we're at the poetry reading, which Jack tries to leave immediately once he has scanned the crowd and failed to spot Tom. Jen says they can't leave. Tom invited her, but Jack says that hardly counts as an invitation and Tom was just being polite. At least he hoped Tom was. Jen comments that Jack seems not to trust psychiatrists, and Jack says that with his family history, he's come by that view honestly. They're not all great and certainly not all infallible, especially not ones who would date their patients. Sidebar, how's your mom doing, Jack? Is she ever going to come back again? Never, by the way, so never mind.
Yeah.
Jen says she's not trying to date Tom. Jack has seen him, and Tom is obviously not Jen's type. Jack asks if she's sure, because it's common for patients to get crushes on their therapists. Jen denies having a crush on Tom, in which case Jack wants to know what they're doing there and why Jen needs Tom to like her so much. Jen scoffs that she doesn't, and Jack forgot she loves poetry. Ken is being very salty about this in a way that I enjoy. Time passes. Jack's needling Jen that Tom isn't there and was never going to come, so can they leave? Clip 5.
You know, would it kill you to sit and listen to some poetry?
Yeah, it would.
Okay, you're right.
The music also doesn't help.
No. Is this worse than jazz? Yes, because it's poetry. I, a poetry major, approve this message.
No sooner have they stood up than Tom materializes and says, Jen saved him a seat. So now they're all stuck sitting together listening to this. Clip 6.
The first poem is called So It Never Will Crumble. Dr. Addle, through the accident of mitigation, discovered the formula for contrition. This is my bathroom.
I have a barn door creaking, creaking.
Creaking. This is my bathroom. Oof. So good.
Later, Tom asks Jack and Jen which poem was their favorite. They both stall for a second before Jack says the last one, and Jen tries to come up with some bullshit about its surreal quality and great imagery. And then the poet, Robin, is there, taking Tom's arm and acting girlfriendy, telling Jack and Jen that Tom's favorite is the last one, too, even if he doesn't get it, at which Tom endearingly shrugs. Robin makes small talk about Jen and Jack being in high school and is about to reveal something about when she and Tom were in high school themselves before he reminds her she's supposed to mingle and she makes him come with her. And when they have taken off, Jack says Tom is definitely not gay, and Jen sadly agrees. And later still, Jen is still loitering around the reading and tells Tom his girlfriend seems really nice. Tom says she is nice. Jen guesses that's confirmation that Robin is his girlfriend. Tom just says he's glad Jen came because she likes poetry and sitting in coffee house windows and browsing in independent bookstores. Jen and Tom have so much in common. Jen shamefully asks if he knew what she was doing, why he didn't stop her. And Tom says it was obviously important to her and they'll talk about why on Tuesday. Not next Tuesday. Jen asks why she's not allowed to know things about him. And Tom laughs that he's not that interesting. He thought there was a bigger question she needed answered. Jen asks for a hint, but Tom says it's not a crossword puzzle clue. It's what they were talking about in their last session. Jen figures out that he means trust and says she has determined she can trust him. Phew, because he only has, I think, two more episodes after this. One or two.
Two, I think.
Onto the A-plot. The love quadrangle keeps secrets and gets messy.
Go back to the poetry reading.
Having started doing sex, Joey and Pacey want to continue doing sex, and we join them in the cafeteria as Pacey strategizes. They could check in at the B&B under assumed names and spend a whole night together for the first time in 2 weeks. Joey says it's fully booked. I say that if Pacey is entertaining this idea, the Potters are not charging enough. Should be prohibitively expensive for a teenager who does not have a job. Failing that, Pacey says they could just go to the boiler room. Joey says no, but Pacey claims he could tell she was considering it. She admits that second semester senior year is a fine time to start blowing off classes, which is when Drew enters and starts bellowing to the cafeteria at large that the results are in for the senior poll. She does the tongue face again here, by the way. I really don't get how a new kid and chaos agent like Drew would be entrusted with these results, but whatever. Here's what he says. Clip 7.
Now, I see that you're all dying of curiosity, but before we get to all that, most likely to eke out a miserable, mind-numbing existence on the edge of suburbia crap, I just thought we'd start with class couple. Now, it's not much of a contest here, folks. Yes, it's those two people so in love, they make the rest of us want to puke on a daily basis. Joey Potter and Dawson Leary.
Shout out to the extra who was very audible going, oh no, that was the best.
Yeah, that was also my reaction, realizing that we're doing yet another senior poll episode in a teen drama.
Honestly.
About character, like it was one thing when you had to sit through the like senior breakfast and numerous barbershop quartet songs about creamy Brandon or whatever the fuck, but this is insane. Like we've been told from the jump, nobody notices these kids.
No one.
It's a regional high school.
Yes.
Fuck off.
Yes. But we have to do this, unfortunately. And after the credits, Joey is manhandling Drew and gloating that the social stigma preventing him from hitting her back is one of the few advantages of being a woman. Pacey looks on proudly before saying it seems like Joey's all set, so he's going to go. And Drew murmurs to Joey about the dimpled chads. This twice in 1 week also for Pacey and someone named Miss Jacobs. Joey slams Drew back into the wall as he claims it's cute that so many of their classmates still care about her and Dawson, considering how long ago they even were a couple. And to your point, Sarah, yet again, one of those instances where the writers decide the lead's classmates care about the kids we've been given to understand are kind of losers or that they watch the show.
Not a thing.
Joey is sure Drew rigged the poll. Drew asks if she voted, and of course she didn't, she says. Who cares about designations like most popular? Drew says, obviously she does. She says she and Dawson are friends, which wasn't easy to achieve, and she doesn't need Drew's scheming to threaten that. Drew notices that friend coming toward them, and the new evolved Dawson and his even worse latest haircut, which you can see in the visual aids, have already heard all about this, and he is totally unconcerned, saying Drew's just trying to get a rise out of them. When he says they're late for class, Joey reluctantly has to let Drew go. Anything else to say about the hair other than what is apparent in the visual aids?
No, I mean, I see what they're trying to do, but it's not working. I will say in this and subsequent episodes, like the fact that Dawson is happy and we see a bunch of the Beaks' teeth because of the Gretchen relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not being the Dawson we came to know and barely tolerate for three seasons is doing a lot to sort of offset the fact that they just don't know what to do with his dome.
Mm-hmm.
And everything they try is not working. So,
yeah, I feel like if they had let it grow longer, it could have turned into something. But it seemed like, and there were a lot of shots where he was like futzing with it, like tucking it behind his ears or whatever. And like, I think he just didn't like it. And they were like, fine.
Yeah, he was just sick of it. And they were like, you're ruining the shot by continuing to touch it. Like, I get it. But we just weren't at the point yet where they were like, just crop it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's a shame because like, it is clearly receding, like facts are facts, but he still has hair and he has gone through cancer treatment. Like, it's not that he's like going bald. He just has a weird hairline for someone who's supposed to be playing an 18-year-old.
Yeah. And this is when they could have, you know, the Dick Casablancas haircut. I can't pull the actor's name. Ryan Hansen.
Yeah.
That actually could have worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have hidden the fact that his head was giant, but it didn't have to do that. It just had to make him not look 31.
Right.
And I think that would have been a better choice.
They also, I mean, to your point where they're like, put him in hats. He did look good in the baseball cap. This also is a time and a time of year when they could have just put him in like a slouchy knit cap because they were the style at the time as well.
Yeah. And I feel like later when he's like swanning around film sets wearing like a t-shirt, but also a scarf, which is a very Southern California actory thing.
I'm so scared.
For some reason that he could also have had the toque or like a bucket hat. This was like the bucket hat's big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Get him a bunch. Get him an actual bucket. It'll fit.
We've talked about this more than anyone who worked on the show.
No, we sure did. And we mean well, actually.
We do.
We're rooting for you.
We're trying to come up with solutions for 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Over to the restaurant bar where Reed pities Sasha Alexander for having to come to work when she quite obviously has a cold. Clip 8.
You want me to go drinking with Doug?
Whoa! Your sexy phlegm! There it is.
Yeah. All right, Phoebe.
Ooh. Anyway, Pacey's suggestion that she go out drinking with Doug and crash on his couch afterwards tips her that he and Joey had sex on the ski trip. The only other thing that can put a guy in a mood that good is free beer, she says. Pacey moans that he wasn't supposed to tell anyone, but she says he didn't. She pried it out of him, and also she won't say anything to anyone. And Pacey's like, anyone? And she agrees. She was a teen girl once, too. And with that in mind, she will give Pacey the apartment for the whole night, but he owes her, and he is giddy. When we return to the restaurant, Gretchen is dropping coffees at a table just before Dawson brings one from the outside, and she complains when she tastes it that there's not enough coffee in his coffee. Drink the restaurant coffee then instead of contaminating his cup with your audible ick. You're sick. But I guess her character's not. Gail calls with an update. And when Gretchen hangs up, she flirtatiously asks why Dawson didn't tell her his parents were going out of town. At first, it seems like he thought Gail would have said something, which is a reasonable assumption. But then he says if he had told Gretchen, it would have seemed like a clumsy come on. She asks if that means he doesn't want her to come by later with some microwave popcorn and a couple of movies. But he didn't say that. So they're on. Ma'am, he might not have wanted you to spread your cold germs all over his house as well as the restaurant and his coffee. But, you know, no one asked me, I guess. Over to the Junior Witter's place, where Joey pounces on Pacey as soon as he has opened the door, and he fake complains about her using him as a sex object when it's not even nighttime. When she suddenly thinks to ask when Gretchen will be home, he says never, then admits she'll come back to get a couple of things and then be out all night. Joey figures out this means Gretchen knows they're having sex now, and Pacey says she put it together. When he asks, Joey says she's not bad, she's just a little embarrassed, but it'll pass. Pacey will do anything in the universe to fix it if it's a problem, and Joey says it's not when they resume kissing. However, it's clear from her face that it is a problem, because everything is a problem for this bitch.
Oh my God. This whole episode devoted to her fucking lying to Dawson about getting it in. What are you doing, show?
When we rejoin Pacey and Joey, he is trying in English to order a pizza from a Portuguese guy when Gretchen comes home to grab her stuff. While Pacey is distracted, Joey pulls Gretchen aside to make sure she's not going to tell Dawson about her and Pacey. Joey and Dawson are friends, she says. They're just not the kind who tell each other everything the second it happens. Gretchen says she won't say anything to Dawson, but adds that it's not that hard to guess since Joey looks happy. Joey does not deny it as Pacey hangs up and asks where Gretchen's going. She chirps that she's going to Dawson's, leaving Joey to look crestfallen and try to hide it, and Pacey to notice and try to ignore it, because that's how it fucking goes.
It's their entire relationship. Literally all of it.
Yeah. Later, over pizza, Joey's being weird. Clip 9.
I'm sure she's just stopping by Dawson's, and then they're going to go out, and then she's going to go back to Doug's, spend the night just like she said. So what if Mitch and Gail are out of town?
Mitch and Gail are out of town?
Last pre-baby trip, at least according to Bodhi. I'm sure it's nothing.
Well, it has to be nothing because, frankly, the alternative is just too horrifying to contemplate.
She's your sister, he's our friend. Any way you look at it, it's weird.
Hmm. How weird would you say it is?
Out of 4 stars or on a scale from 1 to 10?
I'm being serious here for a second. Do you care?
No.
Okay.
Oh my God. Get better at denying that you're not obsessing about Dawson's peen. My God. Also, stop obsessing about Dawson's peen.
I was going to say. That's
you
really
are
the
fucking
solution. Stop.
Pacey.
Yeah. Pacey checks that Joey is sure she doesn't care that Dawson and Gretchen are alone together, and she says it's none of their business and certainly nothing they should allow to ruin this night they've been waiting to have. And in that spirit, I'm going to suggest they each just have one piece of pizza now and have the rest later, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
pepperoni
grease.
Breath is not conducive.
After snuggling up to watch what I surmise from their chit-chat about it is Peggy Sue Got Married, Gretchen reaches into her bag for the next movie, pulling out pajamas and a toothbrush in the process. Dawson asks if she usually keeps that stuff on her, and she says she likes to be prepared for any possibility. He is surprised that her staying over is one, and she suggests they actually talk about sex instead of sitting there awkwardly, but then they just sit there awkwardly anyway until she starts by saying the first time she had sex was with her high school boyfriend, a guy Dawson remembers as a moronic basketball player he hated and whom he hates even more now, knowing that. Gretchen's like, your turn, and makes Dawson say he's never had sex. She says she's never been to the Middle East, but she still has feelings about it. Okay, weird analogy.
Yeah.
She assumes Dawson has thought about sex, which of course he has. He says that with Jen, he was only 15 and it wouldn't have occurred to him to ask, which is not really how I remember that at all.
No.
Dawson did think everything was perfect for him and Joey, but she wanted to wait and that was fine. Don't remember that coming up in their conversation either. They only dated for like 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Then he skips over 4 episodes of fucking Eve throwing herself at him and goes straight to this, clip 10.
You know, and then everything that happened, happened. And then, when they got back, at first I... Oh, God, I was relieved, which is lame, I know. It's just, I don't know, but part of me was still clinging to the insane notion that Joey and I were destined to lose our virginity together.
Well, I guess it's not all that insane. I mean, she was your first serious girlfriend.
Yeah, but now I just kind of wish they'd done it on the boat.
Same.
You know, I mean, just, or they just, they do it now and get it over with. You know, put the final nail in the coffin of Dawson and Joey.
How do you know they haven't?
She told me. Pretty dope. Huh? Especially for us. I asked her and she told me.
It's not adults.
It's not adults. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Also, how do you know that they haven't?
I know.
So poor sick. Kid. I know.
Man. But That's where we have to leave it until through the commercial break, after which Dawson and Gretchen are sitting at opposite ends of the couch now in front of a movie neither of them is watching while he takes terrified peeks at her. After a moment, she asks what this movie's about, and he doesn't know either. All he knows is that every time she gets up for a glass of water, she moves further away from him. Gretchen says she should go. This isn't why she came here tonight. She was really wrong about something, and he needs to not ask her any more questions right now. And justifiably confused, Dawson lets her go. And then it's the next morning, and Pacey and Joey are in the Junior Witter kitchen, flirting about her making a special breakfast for him like she has for 200 or 300 strangers over the past year. After some horniness from him about seeing her in his robe, she gives him a shopping list, which he only agrees to fulfill if she promises she'll still be in the robe when he gets back. And as soon as he steps out the side door, he sees Dawson coming up the porch looking for Gretchen. Pacey's surprised she's not with him, but he shrugs off her not having come home, saying she probably went to Doug's. Dawson asks if he can please use Pacey's phone to call her and make sure she's okay. And since there's no real way Pacey can say no, he can't come in the house, he just comes back inside with Dawson, making a normal amount of noise that is still enough to alert Joey to hide in the bathroom. And I was impressed by that, that it's not like a very sitcom-y, well, here we come, back in the house. Yeah. She just is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well done.
Sometime later, Pacey wraps up a call with Doug, confirming that Gretchen did stay over there. Dawson's relieved and heads for the door, asking Pacey to say he stopped by, and then changing his mind, clip 11.
Actually, you know what? On second thought, don't tell her I stopped by. Don't tell her, and I'll see if she calls.
Dawson, look, yeah. If you guys had a fight and you want me to say something...
We didn't have a fight. It's just I just think she's seen the light. But thanks.
Oh, man.
Oh, I know. I felt a little sorry for him.
I did too.
Honestly, this is really quite something that the writers have pulled off. That, like, occasionally he has these moments where I'm like, oh, buddy. And then, like, I make a little note that's like, MVP. Like, wow. How'd we get here? I wanted to bury him under the jail this time last season. So, ugh. Joey, stop sucking.
Yeah, I had the same conflict. And then I remembered the only reason we're here is because he asked a friend, did you fuck your boyfriend? And that's why we're all dealing with this web of lies, which never should have happened because he never should have asked.
I shouldn't victim blame Joey, I guess. But God, she's just so exhausting this season.
Well, you can blame her for other things, but... You know,
okay.
Like not having said, as we said last time, not having said, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah. Fuck off. I mean, you know, use censor friendlier words, but yeah.
When Dawson is gone, Pacey turns around and sees that Joey's standing there staring at him guiltily, and he takes off. And then Dawson's at the coffee shop reading the Cape Side Chronicle. That's right. As you can see in the visual aids. C-H-R-O-N-I-C-A-L is how they have spelled this prop newspaper. Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
Drew plops down with him. Dawson is curt, so Drew guesses he's pissed about Drew's little joke with the senior poll. Dawson actually forgot about that in the wake of greater personal tragedies, but since Drew brought it up, Drew, clip 12.
You want me to unfix the election? Let Joey and Pacey win as class couple? Sorry. Can't do that. It's too boring. Where's the conflict? Where's the drama?
There isn't supposed to be any drama.
You see, it's thinking like that that keeps high school yearbooks mired in mediocrity.
Are you suggesting they should be fiction rather than fact?
Personally, I've always found the truth to be a slippery little devil and somewhat lacking in the fun department.
And you don't care who gets hurt?
It's downright sweet. All this concern you seem to have for Joey, but I should probably warn you. All it really does is prove my point.
I wasn't aware that you had one.
God, please, this whole friend dance that you guys do. As if you were actually over each other. As if you hadn't fatally wounded each other's psyches and doomed all your future relationships. I mean, I'm sorry, this is great stuff. It's what makes you and Joey far and away the more compelling couple.
Not as much as I appreciate having my life explained to me by you, this sounds like you have no intention of unfixing this problem.
My hands are tied.
Yes, mine are too.
Bro, you did not even live here when they broke up, and then a whole year passed, and you still didn't live here. Like, this is such ancient history. Why do you care? And I used to think it was because he was trying to break up Joey and Pacey because he had a crush on her. But this doesn't even seem like it's that. It's just him fucking with Dawson and Joey for completely unrelated reasons. Like, there's no end game to this. It's so dumb as a scheme.
No. And of all people, again, I understand that he's stepped into the Abby or whatever, Abbeus Morgan role.
Yeah.
But she had lived here.
Yeah.
He's a transplant. Like, I don't know, but find some other way.
And I don't think even, I mean, I'd have to go back and watch them again, which I'm not going to do, but I don't feel like she and Drew have even talked about Dawson all of the times they have had conversations. It's always been about her and Pacey.
Fine. Like, I know his reaction to the senior prank and him getting blamed was to be like, game, recognize game, but you could make it that.
Like, right.
Trying to get back at Dawson, which is like, I doubt he'd really care about that either. And it wouldn't be that much more credible, but just like wanting to be chaotic evil is not really doing it for me here with this character.
Nope. Back to the Junior Witter house. Gretchen's sitting on the porch. Joey comes out asking what the deal is because she got the impression everyone was worried about Gretchen. Gretchen blows past that and gets to the shit she's been sitting here waiting to say. Clip 13.
Sometimes I wish I had been here last year. Because I would really like to know how you guys got into this mess to begin with. I mean, you're all so worried about hurting each other. Everybody's trying to be so nice all the time.
Except you.
Yeah, except me. I'm really not feeling too nice at the moment.
But Gretchen, I know that you and Dawson had a fight or something, and I know that you didn't spend the night at his house last night.
Did you want me to? You know, all these lies that you're all telling to protect each other, they're not going to solve anything.
What lies?
You lied to Dawson about you and Pacey having sex.
I made a decision, a very private decision about my life, and I really don't want the whole world to know about that.
That you really don't want Dawson to know about that.
Well, it's the same thing.
No, it's not, Joey. I don't want to be the ogre here, but lying to Dawson isn't going to solve anything. It's not fair to him. And it's not fair to somebody who's trying to have a relationship with him.
Meaning you. You know what, Gretchen? You're right about one thing. You weren't here last year, and you don't know what it's like, so there's no way that you could possibly understand.
But you have to tell Dawson the truth. There's no other choice here.
Multiple people should not be acting like any of this is his business. Like, I'm with her in terms of, like, you've put me in the middle. I never asked to be party to this secret before knowing that you straight up lied to his face. Like, that is a different thing. That part is your business. Everything else, shut the fuck up.
Well, and once you know that he, in his own words, like, I asked her and she told me, like, I think that's your biggest problem here, college gal.
Yeah.
Is that he asked her and that she, because of how he has historically been, felt that she had to lie. Like, go back to school.
Yeah.
Take your old car and go, like, even if it's not the same school, like, get out of this, because Joey's response, which is a, you know, I have been emotionally abused response, is not your, like, he asked her about this, like, but this is when you should pack up your shit and leave town.
This is, I mean, for story reasons, this would be the time for her to be like, I can't be with this high school shit anymore. Like,
yeah,
I'm 21.
For real. Yeah. Bye.
I'll say this, though. She's closer to right with clip 14.
And if you won't do it for him or for me, then just do it for Pacey.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the
problem.
Have
some respect for your relationship and the one that you claim you picked, but you keep going back on it with every fucking episode. And there's always some conversation and some melting wax face about, I don't want to hurt Dawson. Like, you did hurt Dawson and he survived.
Yeah. People get hurt by things. That's life.
Yeah.
Joey's response to that, Gretchen saying she should tell Dawson for Pacey's sake, is to notice that Pacey is coming up with groceries, and she lies immediately that Bessie had a meltdown and Joey has to go. And after the commercial, Pacey asks Gretchen what's going on with her and Dawson. Didn't they have some kind of fight? Gretchen tries to dodge by sarcastically asking since when Pacey cares about Gretchen and Dawson. Pacey asks what Gretchen and Joey were talking about then and why Dawson was there at dawn, because Dawson thinks they had a fight, but not what it was about. And Pacey is starting to think it has something to do with Pacey himself. Gretchen glares and tries to walk away. And when Pacey follows her, she tells him to ask Joey what the issue is. Clip 15.
You want me to ask Joey about the problem that you and Dawson are having?
Yeah. No. No, look, Pacey, I'm just really not in the best of moods right now, okay? I mean, let's just say that you were right about me and Dawson. I mean, maybe he's too young for me.
My goal is not to be right. My goal is to figure out what's going on, especially if it involves me and Joey. So I think that you should just tell me what's going on, whatever it is. And I won't mention it to Dawson or Joey.
Great. More lies. That's really going to help.
What do you mean more lies? What lies? Because the only lie that I can see that's being perpetrated right now is you, my own sister, lying to me.
Joey lied to Dawson. I don't know why. I don't know what it meant. But he asked her flat out whether you guys were sleeping together, and she lied.
What made him think he could ask is what you say back to that. But
yeah,
that's not what Pacey says.
All of you leave town. All of you go to separate towns. Make the show about Jack and Jen. Just stop. Fuck off. All of you.
Then we're in the yearbook office, where Dawson has asked Joey to meet him, even though they both know yearbook is a waste of time. He offers her coffee, and she marvels that he drinks it black while he's still pouring it. Like, he could still put anything in it, but fine.
Yeah. Also, why is there a coffee machine in the yearbook office?
I wondered that too, but I didn't work on yearbooks, so I didn't know if that was a thing.
I didn't either, but now I'm wishing I had.
He says he does drink black coffee, even if he doesn't really like it. He figures everyone should have one vice. I don't know how much of a vice it is if you don't like it. Joey comments that there's a lot they don't know about each other, whereas they used to be able to tell each other anything. And Dawson says, clip 16.
I'm not sure that was such a good thing.
Not a very Dawson Leary-like thing to say.
Which brings me to something else that I want to say to you. I want to apologize.
For what?
For that question that I asked you a couple weeks ago, that very personal question. I should never have asked you that. I don't even know why I did. It's some masochistic side of me that I haven't explored yet. Probably the same side of me that's sabotaging my relationship with Gretchen.
Do you think you're sabotaging your relationship?
Well, mentioning you every 30 seconds, I'm sure it doesn't help. I'm so terrified of making the same mistakes that I've made in the past that every minute I'm with her turns into this pitched battle in my head. I mean, do I show her the confused mess that I really am? Or, you know, do I attempt to act cool and be the kind of guy who gets the girl?
Maybe you are the guy that gets the girl.
I didn't get you.
Move on! It was...
You did...
Who and a half
you did get her!
Ago. Yeah.
And then she left you for art. Not that anyone remembers that. So bullet dodged a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Joey just looks sad. And when Dawson's like, anyway, she looks at his monitor and sees he's working on the senior poll results. It occurred to Dawson that Drew is like a third tier Batman TV villain who schemes but has no follow through. He went to all the trouble of rigging the poll, then quit yearbook before he could publish the results. So Dawson volunteered, and now he's dragging and dropping a photo of the right class couple without flipping the caption. So the subjects are listed in the correct left to right order. It's not even alpha order. It's Pacey Witter and Joey Potter over a picture of Joey Potter and Pacey Witter in that order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's no Capeside Chronicle, but it's not great. Dawson finds Gretchen on the boardwalk, commenting that if she was trying to avoid him, she picked a bad spot. But maybe it's the right place if she was planning to dump him. She says she wasn't going to break up with him, but yes, she was avoiding him. He starts to say he didn't want to give her the impression that he wasn't over Joey or didn't want this to work, but she doesn't think that. He didn't do anything wrong last night, she says, and was just honest with her. And no, when he asks, she says the problem is not about sex. She just wants him to promise her something. Clip 17.
That you'll always be as honest with me as you were last night. Because that's the hardest part about having a relationship. I mean, it's so much harder than sex. And trusting someone is like this gigantic act of faith. You know, you put it out there and you can never really be sure that you're going to get it back. sex, and sex is just mechanical. It's like, I don't know, like brushing your teeth.
Ooh, shots fired at Nick.
Yeah. Is A, B, I think you're doing it wrong.
Well, someone is.
I really feel for her. Jesus. You can practically smell the VapoRub. It's very bad.
We're so close to the end. I just want to wrap it up so she can go to bed. But Dawson says it's funny she should say that because he brought her something in case she was going to break up with him. It's a new toothbrush, since she left hers at his place and it was apparently very old and gross. And then we're with the class couple out for a walk. Pacey comments that Dawson did a nice thing for Joey. He does not include himself as a beneficiary since Joey is the one who was so upset. Joey nervously changes the subject to the weather and how all the snow is gone, was never here, and it's about to be spring and they didn't even notice. Pacey says their new pastime is more of an indoor sport, and then they have to talk about it some more. Clip 18.
You know, Pace, sometimes I wonder if we should have done it on the boat, you know? We were alone.
Yeah, same.
We would have missed all the scenery.
Do you miss it?
The scenery?
Oh. When we weren't having sex. When everything and every moment wasn't about sex.
I don't know that that time ever really existed.
Yes, you're right. Before, when we hadn't had sex, everything was about sex, and now that we have had sex,
everything is still about sex. Do you think we're doing something wrong?
No. Do you?
No. You don't think that we did anything wrong. I don't know why that you would.
Hey, see, did Gretchen say something to you after I left this morning?
Why?
No reason.
Learn to lie better.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Joey suggests they walk some more. They never do that anymore, she says. But she can't walk away from her secrets. And that's it. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. Jack had all of the funny lines.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I considered making Dawson both M and LVP, but I'm actually going to say Gretchen, or mostly Sasha Alexander for soldiering on through it, even though she had a code.
What a trooper.
Yeah, and in this plot line, no less, like you can actually see Gretchen just being like, oh my fucking God, children, get a grip in a couple of scenes. And exactly, like she did the best she could with the situation, short of tying a bandana to a stick and striking out for Orleans. So yeah, good for her. She didn't sell anyone out and it all worked out. So her.
Least valuable player. Joey, I mean, you already said it. Learn to lie.
Yeah, really. And then don't. Not about this.
Not about Again, this.
Dawson will get over it. He did once already. Next time on Again With This, when college acceptances and rejections go out, everyone has to take stock of their finances and futures. And while Mr. Brooks continues stepping in it from beyond the grave, Jen's family of origin issues also get resurrected. Speaking of things that are haunting, it's our visual aids. If you're in the mood for millennium fashion jump scares, boy, we've got them for every single episode of the podcast. You can find them, along with those episodes, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm Don'ty Decimal System, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Gifted Toothbrush, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, does like poetry. Talk to you next time.
This guy Dawson sounds like a real loser.
Cliffy, how are you?